Blog Talk Radio.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Sands of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn.
Surgeon One's Dog Show, hosted by inspirational author and playwright Vanessa Richardson. The Surgeon One, aspiring to inspire. With your host, playwright, author, Vanessa Richardson. You can tune in to The Surgeon One's aspiring to inspiring talk show on www.blogtalkradio.com/thesurgeonones.com. And now, here's your host, Vanessa Richardson.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Thanks for tuning in to The Certain Ones Radio Show with your host, Vanessa Richardson, where we aspire to inspire. visit The Certain Ones at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Certain Ones. Are you ready? Let's go get it!
Hi guys, welcome back to The Certain Ones Blog Talk Radio Show, where I'm your host for the delightful hour, Vanessa Richardson. You guys, I'm so amped and excited about this showcase. I really am. And this platform always amazes me, the way we connect with some awesome and inspiring guests who just want to come here and share themselves and what it is they love doing, be it they're written a book or can sing, release an album, sharing Black History Month, like we, all those things we're going to do tonight, matter of fact. And so I'm just letting you know what's going on. We're going to have a delightful time tonight, just absolutely delightful time. Vanessa Bell Armstrong will be in the house. We're going to talk to her. I know you know who she is. I absolutely adore her and love the name, too, by the way. One of my favorite songs of hers is Peace Be Still, and she has endured some great things in 2014. So, and she's still keeping it moving. Her faith is just tenacious. I describe it as indefatigable. And I know we get tired sometimes, but her faith is really just inspiring to me, and I just wanted to bring her on and just talk about one of my favorite songs, and I'm sure it's one of yours, and that is Peace Be Still, Shalom. But sometimes we need that peace in our lives. Sometimes the cares of life just knock us for a wind, for a loop, and we can hardly catch our breath, and we have to take our authority that God has given us. Sometimes, like God told Moses, look, what's in your hands? Sometimes we go through so much, we tend to forget that we have power and authority to speak a word in our situations and to believe that this too shall pass. So she has an inspiring testimony. Listen, you guys, I don't want to just make this one-on-one just me and myself. I want to talk to you, too, if you will. I want you to just dial in, and if you have an inspiring testimony or just want to share what has been going on in your life as far as testimony goes, call in this number, 917-932-1607. That number is 917-932-1607. So we have an awesome showcase today. Shay Williams is stopping by. She'll be in the house. She's releasing her new CD. Her album is out. She's getting ready to drop, so we're glad to have her here. It's aptly titled Ready, and I know you're ready, too. I'm ready, so excited. And, of course we're ending. This is the exodus of February, which is the month of love, Valentine's, and also Black History Month. So we have author Marlene Banks. She's stopping by the house. We're going to talk a little bit about Black history. Who inspired you? Maya Angelou? Anyone? Anyone? So you two can call in on that number that I've mentioned and just tell me, drop a line. Who's inspired you as far as Black history goes? We are the shoulders. We stand on so many shoulders as far as being able to vote now, doing certain things that we could not have done years past. And, you know, you guys, 1960s, that's not long ago. This is like slightly over 40 years. So, again, it's not very long, so we have a lot to be appreciative of. So call in at that number, as I mentioned, 917-932-1607. Dial that number. And if you don't want to talk on the phone, of course, you can come here to our website, our chat room, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/thecertainone. Again, that number is, call in at, it's 917-932-1607. But our chat room is www.blogtalkradio.com/thecertainones. You got it. And also, you guys, I'm so excited about our magazine. If you have not visited our magazine, what are you waiting for? You have to go over there in my Oprah Winfrey voice. That's right. Go over there and check us out. Some fabulous, fabulous articles we have written, and we go live monthly. It's a monthly edition. I'm so excited to announce to you now that actors and singers and just everybody has graced that cover so far, and we're just so excited. And next month, March, cover edition is going to be none other than, drum roll, please. I'm going to have to get that. It's Isaiah Washington. That's right. Isaiah Washington is gracing March issue of The Certain Ones magazine. You may be familiar with his body of work, but one is more prominent, and that is Grey's Anatomy. So we're glad to have him grace the cover of The Certain Ones magazine next month. So go over there, www.thecertainonesmagazine.com. So, also thorough information coming from single, marriage, all those things, inspiration, motivation, author interviews, just the hole for you. There's something for everybody, I promise you. So, and I thank you again for tuning in here at Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show, and visit us on the web, our Facebook channel, which is, you got it, The Certain Ones. So I'm so excited. I'm going to go ahead and play this song, you guys. I am going to play Peace Be Still by Vanessa Bell Armstrong. And this is going to set the mood right here, if you know what I'm saying. It's going to set the mood for where we're going. We're going to wait for arrival. And then we're going to talk to our other guest, which is Shay Williams. And if she's in the building, our virtual studio, please press the number one. This is indicative that you have arrived to our studio. All right, you guys, we're going to play this song. And don't go anywhere. This is what I want you to do. I appreciate you always. As always, for listening and texting your friends on Facebook, Twitter, all those good things, to just share the good news that Vanessa Bell Armstrong is in the building. I'm so excited. Listen, guys, let's go ahead and bring her on, and then we're going to play her song first. I'm just excited. I want to talk to her briefly and then just play the song. Okay, peace be still. You got it. So, you guys, I know she needs no introduction. You know her. You know her from Detroit, Michigan. All right? I'm just so excited to have her in the house. She is just phenomenal. Her music got that R&B flavor, contemporary gospel sound to it. You know how it is. It just gets you moving. It touches your spirit. It connects. It doesn't entertain. It ministers to you. There's profound messages in there. That's my southern accent coming out. There. You know, so I'm so excited to have her on. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring her on the show. This is her first time, so we're going to make her welcome Miss Vanessa Bell Armstrong is in the building. Welcome to the show.
Let me get her on, please. Hello?
Welcome to the show, Vanessa.
This is Clive, her manager. Let me get her on, okay?
Sure. Hi, Clive. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Vanessa. How are you? Let me come in.
I'm doing good.
Hold on
for
one.
Sure.
All right.
Bell Armstrong is in the building. I absolutely love her. She has motivated me and ministered to me on countless occasions. And again, if you have not heard this song, Peace Be Still, I don't know why.
Hello, Vanessa, you there?
I have not. I'm here, Clive. We wait for Miss Armstrong to join us.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I was just saying how your song, oh my goodness, many of them, countless of them, has ministered to me, but none other than the prolific one, which is Peace Be Still. I know everybody has heard that song, Miss Vanessa. I love it,
oh, yeah.
love it. So,
for
those who don't know, oh, my pleasure. And for those who don't know, Miss Vanessa, how did that song come about? That song, it's not just thrown or sown out there. That comes from experience. I have to say that personally. So how did that song, I know you got that question many a time before, but you're new to the show. Can you just share with our audience, how did that song come about?
Well, I guess really actually the late Thomas Whitfield was producing this record, and when he heard James Cleveland's way of doing it, and it was, which was very good and it was powerful, he just thought that I could do another, you know, another version of it and bring it up to date, and it worked. I mean, it went to the uttermost bends of my heart, and I didn't really understand what I was really singing about. I knew about the story about the storm and how Jesus asked them to go to the other side, but as I lived on and up until now, it's still so wonderfully blessing me, because I've been through many storms since I first started singing this song. I thought I had went through all my little storms, the worst ones, when I was growing up, but looked like they got a little worse, but God has given me peace, you know, even today. You know, I had a real bad time this morning, you know, thinking about the loss of my mother and my one and only son. And I thought about the song. You know, I have to think about my songs. I have to turn around and listen to them and let them minister to me. You know, a lot of people said that they blessed them and helped them through a lot of situations and different, you know, circumstances and stuff. So I had to turn around and listen to it and encourage my own self, and that's what I'm doing. PC still will never die. It will always go on. I mean, even the young people are saying, I like your new song. And I'm saying, like, new song? This is 30 years old, you know. but they can relate. They can relate because everybody has some type of a storm that they're going through or been through or getting ready to go through.
You know what? You was heavily on my mind and in my spirit, too, because I know about my condolences first to your, in regards to your son and your mother. I knew that, and I was like, I know this song is ministering to her right now. So, yes, and again, condolences to you and the body opening. I said this song is powerful. It ministers to so many people, and you just don't know how strong you are until you face these tests. Vanessa, my question to you is this, and I know you suffered a loss, and that's the most back-to-back. Not Job lost so much back-to-back, but his faith kept him going. Where do your strength come from? Where do your thoughts come from? Because sometimes we throw words out there, and then we have to live those words. So where do your faith and your strength come from? How do you get up and say, I'm going to still do what God has chosen me to do?
Well, because I realize, I mean, there's plenty of times that I just feel like giving up, but there's something that you got to have down on the inside that keep pushing you. And I believe that's the Spirit of the Lord that has endowed me before I was even born to do this. And when he's called you and chose you to do, you know, for him, you can't just let it just die. You have to get up and just say, you know what, regardless what comes and what goes, I got to do what God called me to do because I got to finish my journey, you know. So when I'm finished and he comes for me, he could say, well done, you know, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. And that's what I want to hear him say. I'm in peace. So even though going through my little trials and tribulations and all, you know, there's days that I just feel like getting up out of my bed. I just want to lay there and cry. I got to get up. Yeah. I said, no, I got to get up. And to tell you the truth, I feel better when I get up to do what God wants me to do. When I go to sing on a concert, I sing my way through it. You know, it makes me feel much better just to sing. You know, people be saying that I help them through this situation. They don't. It's helping me. It really is.
I know you are. You helping so many, and I want to talk about the CD, which I absolutely adore, Timeless, and that's what it is. Your songs are timeless. You are timeless. Let me say, you know how you do that thing when you age in reverse? You are aging in reverse. You are looking so beautiful. Beautiful, you guys. The cover is beautiful. She's beautiful. The songs are equally beautiful. And you guys, if you have not checked this Timeless out, I love all her albums, you know, just all of them. But this one right here really ministered to me. You want to go on Amazon and get your copies. It will really bless you. And she's even reaching the younger generation. You got to get her album. I get it on Amazon or wherever you can get it online. Go ahead and do so. So, Miss Vanessa, what's next? Are you traveling? We want to find out where you're going now so we can follow you. Concerts, what's on the horizon?
Get ready to do a tour. Clive has put together, I don't know how many, it's a lot of stuff. And we're getting ready to tour and do this show that I'm still willing and able and ready and let the people know that through it all, you just got to trust God and just go with it and to bless. It's more better to, you know, give than to receive. And I mean, that means in all things, you know, I'm going to give out, you know, and I'll get it back in another way. God will refresh me as I go. And so I just feel like it's time for me to get out there on the road and just give all that I have and the experience that I've been through and sing through my experiences and let people feel where I'm coming from. So when they go through theirs, they'll know that it's not all for naught. It'll help you and it'll bless you that, you know, Satan tried to stop you, you know, all kind of ways. To throw, you know, for you to throw the, you know, throw in the towel, but no. And I know I said one time on the song with Daryl Coley, he said I just feel like throwing in the towel. I said I just want to throw mine out, but I'm not gonna throw it out. I'm just I'm gonna give it all to the Lord, and I want to show people that you can get through it. You can make it. God will help you. Yes. He will give you strength, even at your weakest hour. I guess that's why he said, "Let the weak say I'm strong," because he knew we were gonna get weak, you know. And he said he would be a comforter, you know, because I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of them saying that, you know, don't cry, you know, they're in a better place. Yeah, they are. My mom and my son, they doing better than I'm doing now, because we're still in the land of the dying. They're living in the land of the living forever.
Right.
And so I got to keep going. I got to push on. I got to press on when I don't feel like it. Like all the songs that I sang, I got 14 CDs out there. But like every song that I have ever sang, it looked like it's coming back and it's letting me, look like I sung it ahead of time. For what I really was going to need it for, like right now. You know what I'm saying?
And that's
such a blessing. So I just reached back today and put on some of my songs. And the song I'm Free that my sister wrote on my Desire of My Heart album came on. And I started singing that. Then Peach Be Still came right on after that. And I just sat there and I sung it to myself. And, you know, I got a little strength, you know. So I'm okay. I'm encouraged.
Yes, ma'am, you are okay. And I want to say this too, I appreciate your realness, and there's a grieving period that we go through. It's okay to grieve. It's where you get stuck in it. That's where it becomes detrimental. And I do appreciate you for really coming in and taking the time to talk to us and minister, because Miss Armstrong, you are really, really, I have a huge following here. You are really ministering to someone here today who has suffered loss. Like I said, yours was back to back, and you're still doing what God has called and chosen you to do. And it's not easy. I get that. I understand that. So I appreciate your transparency, and I appreciate your faith and tenacity. But before you go, I'm going to play that song, Peace Be Still, because it ministering and will minister tonight. For someone who's listening,
praise God.
Can you give us like a word of encouragement? I know you probably said I need it myself, but God will use us in the most at the most opportune time.
Yes.
So if you could just offer a word of encouragement.
Well, praise God. I just, to anybody that's going through any kind of type of storm, or you know, whatever you're going through right now, the devil trying you, or whatever the case may be, you feel like giving up, you feel like giving out, giving in, don't. God hears you. There's nothing that's new under the sun. He wouldn't allow it. Everything that you're going through, whatever season that you're in right now, whatever storm, God already knows what you're going through and that you're going to make it through that. The thing is just to go through, because you're going to come out on the other side and you'll be able to turn around and say, peace, be still.
I love it. Peace, be still. And that's a command right there. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm going to play this song, and I just love you so much. You have no idea. It's an honor to really talk to you. You're iconic. You really are. It's an honor to talk to you. Your life is a living testimony that peace will be still. And I appreciate that. And the song, you said it so to say it. It's almost, you wrote it before time, it's almost prophetic. And God do these things. He uses us as instrument to minister. And it's coming to pass.
Yeah.
God is coming to pass. Healing coming to So I love you. I love you so much, and I appreciate your stopping by the certain one. It's an honor. It's an honor.
Well, I love you more, and thank you for supporting me and playing me, and I can't wait to see you and throw my arms around you and give you a big hug.
Absolutely. It's going to happen, too. I love that.
Okay.
I love you
so
much. And I love your name, too. Did I tell you that?
I love
Vanessa. Just gorgeous. I love it. And I love you.
Thank you.
Take care.
God bless you.
God bless you,
too. Bye-bye.
There you have it, God. Love you. Oh, my goodness. There you have it. The incomparable. The anointed. The phenomenal. Vanessa Bell Armstrong was in the house. What a phenomenal testimony. I told you, God is just awesome. That's what I was trying to say. The song was almost prophetical, almost written before time. And I thought about her today, Peace Be Still. And listen to that song, I got the chills, and I have the chills still. So we got another show. I'm just speechless. I love her so much. You have no idea. It was an honor to speak with her, and I'm just so excited to prophetically meet her one day. And listen, guys, you want to connect with her, Facebook, Vanessa Bell Armstrong. Check her out there, too. And get that CD, PC Steel. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go on Amazon. That's where I got it. Or any on-sale retail store and get that song, PC Steel. I promise you, it's going to minister to you. And get her Timeless album. That's where I got it from. It's timeless. It's a timeless piece that you want to listen to. I absolutely love that song. Okay, you guys, we're going to take this break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Shay Williams. He has a new CD release, which is titled Ready. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Are you a single Christian woman who's wondering where Mr. Right is? If so, I believe I can help you. Hi, my name is Afi Pittman, creator of Author of Faith Enterprises, the place of encouragement for today's single woman. I know firsthand how frustrating it is to just want to meet and marry Mr. Right already, and then to do everything you know how to do in dating and romance, and at the end of the day, still be single. But God used some very difficult situations in my life to teach me the art of contentment and how to prepare for marriage. If you're ready to live a full life, free from worry that you'll ever marry Mr. Right, and you want to marry God's way, I want you to join me at authorofmyfaith.com. Start by signing up for the Single and Preparing e-newsletter to get free articles, video devotionals, and company news. I also post new blog devotionals every week, along with articles on dating, healthy eating, and living. And you can also subscribe for those as well. So again, this is Afi Pittman with Author of Faith Enterprises, the place of encouragement for today's single woman at authorofmyfaith.com. I so look forward to hearing from you, and I would be honored to serve you on your journey to Mr. Right.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show, where I'm your host for the hour, Vanessa Richardson. For those who just tuned in, you just missed the delightful showcase with the incomparable. I love her. I love her. Vanessa Bell Armstrong. So no worries, because we're going to be made available upon demand immediately after the show. So you can come back to the archives and you can listen to it. Such an encouragement, such raw truth. I love her. Absolutely love her. And I'm so delighted that she's taken the time to stop by the Certain Ones to talk to you and I. That's why I love this platform, just connecting with inspirational and motivational people. It says, it speaks volumes. And I know we have pain and we have hurt, and sometimes we allow these pains and hurt to stop us from going forth. And sometimes you do want to throw down the towel. You want to throw it away, just get rid of it. Just go in a cave and just say, this is it, it's over. But you know, and someone said this poignantly and powerful, that sometimes we don't go through situations for ourselves, but for others. And her song, To Date, came back. She's been in the business or the ministry for years. It's just like prophetical, just now, coming back to really, for time, minister to her now. And again, that song is Peace Be Still. You have to listen to the concert version, powerful, potent. So if you have any questions, comments for my next guest, which is in the house, Shay Williams. Person number one, if you will, Shay. I know you're in this the studio. I want to ID you, okay? So if you have any questions or comments with myself or Shay Williams, I'm going to talk about her upcoming release. I want you to call in at 917-932-1607. That number is 917-932-1607. And press the number one on your keypad. This is indicative that, yes, you do have a question or comment. And if you do not want to want us to hear your beautiful voice on air, that's fine, too. We got you covered. www.blogtalkradio.com/thecertainones. And you'll be in our virtual studio in our chat room. And just type out your questions or comments, and I will ask them live on air. So let's go ahead. I have her CD, too, the MP3 version. So her release party is coming up on March 5th, and her album is going to be released. I know she's so excited about that. She has a phenomenal voice. She's also starred in certain stage productions. Now, you know, when I read that, I was, like, excited, because those know me, that I am an author and I'm a playwright, and absolutely love playwrights, connecting with them. I love dramas. I love Broadway. I love singing. Sister can sing. She's, like, trailblazing. You know, she's a trailblazer in this music industry. So she's been in the business for a while. So I'm glad she is on this show right here to share her baby that she's birthed. All right, ready? That's the name of the single. So I hope you are ready, too. So let's go ahead and bring Shay on the line. Hey, Shay, welcome to the show. Are you there?
Can you hear me? How are you?
Gotcha.
I'm doing great. How are you?
You got me?
I am.
Gotcha.
Just got back in town, so just been on the move, been on the go, but I'm doing great. How are you?
you busy, in a good way. I'm excited for you. First off, welcome to the show. It's your first time.
I'm excited. I'm just blessed that you have me.
Oh, absolutely. And I know you are ready, as your album is tightly aptly titled, or your CD, really. So let's go ahead and get right into it. So who are the big heads you work with on this album?
Oh, my God. My producers, I have several producers on this one. Roger Ryan here in Nashville, Tennessee, where I'm at. He's a great, phenomenal guy. He's worked with a lot of different artists, Whitney Houston and Winona Judge and CeCe Winans. He's worked with a lot of different artists. Michael Gaines is the co-producer on this single. And Alvin Garrett, absolutely love him. He was my vocal producer. And this guy just turned the volume up when it came down to getting what he knew he could get out of me when it came down to my vocals. So I have a really great team when it comes down to production and in the studio.
Oh, I'm excited about you. Miss Shay Williams is in the building. I'm so glad to have her on. She has a new release, which I'm going to play later, you guys. Her voice is enrapturing. Beautiful, love it, timeless, beautiful, beautiful song. I enjoyed it tremendously. So, Shay, who you influenced a lot of people, and I'm sure people influenced you in your life. So tell us, who influenced you?
As an artist, or as a child, well, my mom, when I was a young girl, she could not get me to be quiet when it came down to singing. It was always, you just need to hush your mouth. But she would always sing the Lord's Prayer to me all the time. And I grew up in church. That's mm-hmm. where it started. And mm-hmm. I used to mimic my choir director, Miss Alvia Dixon. She would direct the choir, and I would want to be behind her. And I would direct mm-hmm. the choir, too. So one day she was just like, I would sing behind her. I'm always mimicking her. I was probably about 5, and she's just like, you know what, I'm going to get you to sing this song, and you're going to sing this song. And I sung His Eyes on the Sparrow, and I just belted it out, and she was like, that's it. That was nonstop for me. And when I got to middle school, the woman who really influenced me in my life to really keep pushing, her name was Gladys McKnight. She was my choir director.
Oh, yeah.
She was with me from sixth grade to through high school, and it was crazy how that worked. She wound up teaching the middle school and wound up going to the high school, so she had us all those years. So I have this gospel background, but she was the one that introduced me to artists like Whitney Houston and CeCe Winans and Mariah Carey and Lauryn Hill, mm-hmm. and she would always give me a part to sing in the choir and singing those songs from those artists. So if it wasn't at church, it was her exposing me to classical music and those different artists that I would study as a child. And so that's all I knew, was to be a positive woman mm-hmm. and to be someone that would be able to, because those women inspired me. So I knew that I wanted mm-hmm. to be able to inspire others. And I never knew that doing what I do would really be inspiring other people. And I never mm-hmm. really would try. It was just, I guess that was just something that God had, that he knew that that's what I was going to be doing. So I've mm-hmm. always tried to, I've looked up to those women, and that's what I do now. I love being on stage, and I love performing.
Absolutely, and we love hearing you perform. And those women today are just prime example, oh my goodness, of excellency in which you walk into. So let's go ahead and talk about your album. For those who may have never heard you, and I don't know why not, you're just about everywhere. For those who may have never heard your music before, Shay, how would you describe your style of music?
And that's somewhat hard for me sometimes because mm-hmm. I hear so many people say so many different things, but I know I'm soulful, this Southern gospel background, and sultry, and this R&B artist that has so many different styles, and that's why my EP was undefined. Because mm-hmm. I wanted to be diverse and not in this box of just walking in one genre. Right. So when you listen to it, it just has so much diversity to it that you'll get this soulful, Southern, sultry feel, mm-hmm. gospel tone.
Yes.
You know, she's bringing
yes.
in like Mary J. Blige, but she has this Deborah Cox feel, and, you know,
yes.
Mariah, I can get up in these whistle tone notes like Mariah Carey. So it just has so many mm-hmm. different elements in there. That I just found, I just studied myself as an artist, and I began to reach into myself and know who I am as an artist. So, you know, I like
right.
that sometimes people are all over the place when they're listening to me, because it just shows how diverse I am and how I study different people and not just stuck to one thing. So that's what
absolutely.
It would be.
That is so important. That is so important. I'm so glad you say that, Shay. It's so important to not be confined or stuck in the in a box or be frightful or afraid to expand your territory and just branch out. You know, a lot of people do that. They handicap themselves by sticking in one area and genre. So I'm just glad you said that. Which brings me to a question. I was thinking this as an artist. What's the difference between your definition, just yours, if you will, between an artist and an entertainer? Have you heard that question before? Because I think Jennifer Hudson said something to that effect, close to it. I'm no longer, at least I'm not an entertainer anymore, but I'm an artist. And there's a difference between those two.
It's a craft, you know. You have to have a lot of, and that's I've never had that question before, but, you know, it's a good one. When you're an entertainer, you have to have a lot of things to be able to entertain. I mean, you know, you look at some of those entertainers, and I absolutely love them all. I mean, I am nowhere near a Beyonce, but she has a lot going on, and there's a lot of things that you have going on when you're entertaining. You have lights, you have cameras, you have, you know, dancers, and you're just shaking this way and shaking that way. And,
right.
You know, and I focus on my craft as an art, as an artist, and it's an instrument. My voice is an instrument, and I myself... Yes. I am an instrument. You know, God created me to be an inspiration to others, and he gave me the gift of song. And so I want people to see me as an artist, and I want them to respect my craft. And I also want them to see me as a respectable young woman in a classy, sexy way. And so, now don't get me wrong, I know how to entertain because he also blessed me with the muse and the charisma to draw you into me, into the stage. And I may not know how to be all around the stage, but it's just something about what he's blessed me with that captures my audience. And I never understood it until people just had to keep telling me. And I didn't really grab it until a few months ago when, you know, it felt like I was giving birth to myself before I really released the song and said I was going to do Ready. I was just going through these changes, and I could not sleep at night, and I did not know who I really was as an artist because I kept getting, you know, R&B is dying, and the stuff that you're singing is boring. You should sing hip hop. You should sing pop. You should take some more clothes off. You need to be sex sales. And it was many different things going on that it was bothering me, and I was just like, you know, my mother didn't raise me that way, and I know that I am a virtuous woman, and I am in an R&B genre. But how do I embrace this market that may not want to accept me because I'm not going to strip all my clothes off and I'm not going to change who I am? So I could not sleep a lot of times at night. And I was in a store one day with my kids, and this lady came over to me, and she gave me this bracelet. And it had Muse on it. And I was just looking at her like, you know, why should I get this? And she was like, you have this, you draw people into you. You should go research it. So I went and researched it. And after researching it, Muse was non-Greek goddesses, and that's how we came up with the label name, Muse Music Group, because it was non-Greek goddesses, and all of them had a different, and they all had to come into the courtyard to bring inspiration, and my muse was music. And so Muse is the art of inspiration, and so every night I could not sleep. He was just pouring into me, and all the things, I went back at all these things, it was like, just showing visuals of everything. When people would, I would be on stage, and my director on stage would say, "Shay, you have a charisma." I didn't understand all of that at the time because I was trying to find myself. But now I know who I am, and I know that I am here to inspire people through music, because music is very diverse. It's not something that has, it delivers a message, and my message comes in a certain way that's different from someone else. So I'm just excited to go into my musical journey, and I'm just ready to stick true to myself and be who I am, and I think that if I stay true to myself and be who I am, that the world will accept me instead of changing for what somebody else want me to be. So,
bam, there it is right there. You guys, there it is, the definition of an artist. I love it. And now you four, I love it even more.
I went off on the, I guess I went too off on the deep end. I went away from
You went where you were supposed to go. I love that. I love it.
Okay. I kind of answered the question and went away from the question.
It was right on point. Okay. Trust me. My goodness. Yeah. You know what? And you talked about it a little bit, so I got to tell what you were just saying. Definition, that was powerful. Because in your industry, even in the acting world, Hollywood, it's a lot of pressure. You know, a lot of pressure. So I'm glad you know who you are and you found your muse. And that's important, you guys. Look up your definition. She know who she is. Don't allow no one to define you, know who you are. Define yourself and stick with it. Hold your guns, because there are going to be people trying to dissuade you, persuade you, and all that good stuff. And I understand what you were saying, how you don't have to necessarily move all over the stage. And a prime example for that, as far as instrument goes, your voice, is Whitney Houston. Oh,
Whitney
my goodness, she
Houston.
Enraptured you.
Yes. I love her.
Yes, she enraptured you. I love her, too. So what can we, as listeners, look forward to on your new album here?
You know, things in life, we go through a lot of different changes in life. I don't have this type of R&B male bashing thing, or there are some times when you in a relationship, you will be up and you will be down. So it just goes through certain things that we go through and in a relationship, as, you know, nobody's perfect. And there are some times when things are going to get rough, and sometimes where things are going to change. And so sometimes we may have to, as women, sometimes we have to let the guy know. We have to speak. Sometimes they don't get it. If you don't tell them, sometimes they won't get it. They'll keep trying to figure it out. And so we have to learn to communicate, because sometimes it's going to be rough. And I mean, I sing ready because I'm ready. And then there's some times when I'm mad at them. I got one song on my EP, I was mad. And the song was called Hard Head, and I was mad at them. So I decided to start writing the song. So it just takes you through a journey of different things in life and phases and relationships that we go through that's real. It's not something that is not something that's made up. It's things that I went through and I was writing about.
Absolutely. And we're glad that you put that to paper and brought it to life. We really are. Somebody really going to be affected by your music. Classy. That's the word that best describes you. Classy. Shay Williams. So give us some information. How can we connect with you? What's your upcoming events? Direct us to how we connect with you. Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff.
Facebook is Shay Williams Music. Everything else is The Official Shay, honey, because it's official over here. The website is The Official Shay. Instagram and Twitter is The Official Shay. So everything is The Official Shay. So if you pull up Shay Williams, you'll see it. I love it. TheOfficialShay.com. And I have the single ready. Is releasing March 2nd. It will be available on iTunes, Google Play, CD Baby, Amazon. I mean, every digital site in the world is going to be available for the single. And we'll have another single coming out right after that, and then the album will release it in the summertime. So I'm excited. Started off with ready because I am definitely ready to embrace the world. I'm ready to deliver my music and be an inspiration to others, and I want my gift to open up doors for others. So I'm excited about it.
I'm excited for you, and I'm excited to have you join us. And I want to bring you back on because I absolutely adore you already, Shay. I really do. Glad to have you back.
Yes, that would be great. I would love to be back.
And I have ready, matter of fact, so I'm going to play it so we can be enticed to get that whole album. So thank you for joining us. I'm going to play it, and we got to have you back on. Thank you so much.
My official video will be out on the 5th. Vivo.
Yay.
My video ready will be out. And actually tomorrow, the behind the scenes comes out with Vivo and YouTube. So I'm excited. The behind the scenes is tomorrow, and then the official video next week, Thursday on the 5th. So you've got to check out that video, girl, because you're going to love it.
I know. You know what? I looked at you on Facebook. You made me hit the gym. I said, okay, I got to tighten up here. She looked. Are you serious? I'm checking you out.
I love
you. Good job. You check that out, you guys. I could tell. I see that. So thank you so much. I love your website. Beautiful. You revamped it. It's gorgeous, you guys. You got to check it out. So I'm going to play your song. And again, thank you for joining us, Shay. We appreciate you. Much, 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 much respect to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Keep me in your prayers.
Shall do. Bye-bye.
Okay.
There you have it, guys. I love her already. Get that album. Get the CD. Check the video out on Vivo. This show is just phenomenal. I said it was going to be. Did I not say that? I told you that. So I'm going to play her song. And as I do that, I want to make way that we do have author Marlene Banks, who I absolutely adore also. She is no stranger to the show. She's a historical romance author, and I'm glad to have her join us. She's going to conclude on the segment with our celebration of Black History Month. That's right. Marlene Banks is in the house. I absolutely, again, adore her books. If you have not gotten her books, you're doing yourself a disservice. Just Google her name and you'll see why. She's one of my high recommends. Her books are awesome. Son of a Preacher Man. Just so many of them out there that you want to avail yourself to. Marlene Banks. So we're going to talk a little bit about our history, again, about the shoulders we stand on, how, again, I mentioned the civil rights era just ended like a little over 40 years ago, you guys. And it's so ironic and scary even to think about that we even now as a race of people still protesting and walking and all that. You see the Academy Awards, Selma? Chilling. The Glory with John Legend and Common? Absolutely chilling. I'm serious. It's just amazing. Oh, if you have not, just go ahead and YouTube that recap of the Academy Awards where John Legend and Common sang that song. Just very chilling to date. So I'm going to go ahead and play Shea Williams, Ready. And it's a portion of it. And then we're going to make Ready for author Marlene Banks to join us. We're going to celebrate Black History Month on Touch That Dial. We'll be right back.
I go again, thinking to myself, why the hell am I still with you?
Oh, that's not the one. Download the wrong one, you guys. That's not Ready. My apology, it was supposed to be Ready. So it's not the real one. Sorry, you guys. But again, I got that off Amazon. You can go ahead and listen to that in its entirety. We're going to take that break and we're going to come back. And we're going to talk to author Marlene Banks.
Are you starting a new business, releasing a CD, writing a new book? Consider Mitchell Productions for your web design services. Visit www.mitchell-productions.com for portfolio samples, specials, and package prices. Remember, a website is not a luxury item. It's a necessity. Check out Mitchell-Productions.com or find them at Facebook.com/Mitchell Productions.
Do you feel like you waste time on social media? Are you overwhelmed with all the information about online marketing? Do you want to be able to effectively manage your online presence? Set up a one-on-one consultation with DIY with Ty.com. Taora Moody, known simply as Ty, has over 12 years of experience and a down-to-earth personality that has put over 100 clients at ease. At DIY with Ty.com, we aim to take the mystery out of the geeky stuff in a way that anyone can understand so you can learn how to do it yourself.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show, where I'm your host for the hour. At the top of the hour, we had Vanessa Bell Armstrong and Shea Williams join us in our studio. Delightful time. So if you have not subscribed here to the Certain Ones, you might want to go ahead and do that. March Madness is going to be crazy here on the Certain Ones Block Talk Show. So you just want to follow us to be appraised as who we have. Byron Cage is in the house. So many authors coming on, dropping by our studios. And as I mentioned earlier, Isaiah Washington, he will be gracing the cover of our magazine. We're so humble and we're so excited about the awesome things that are taking place. And you know what? We are inspired by you guys. You guys help motivate us, encourage us on so many levels. You don't even know. You keep us on our game. So thank you so very much for all your support. All your support. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring author Marlene Banks on. We're going to talk about Black History Month, celebrating it. Can you believe, you guys, that February is almost out? Yes, it's the shortest month of the year, one of my favorite months for obvious reasons. I celebrate a birthday in there, the month of love, and Black History Month, all these things. So it's one of my favorite months. So, and I count down always until Christmas. And some people don't want to hear it. In a couple of weeks, we'll just have 9 months to Christmas. Can you believe that? This is insane, yo, guys. This is the madness. Time is just going by. It waits for no man. So whatever you want to do, inspire your life, go ahead and do it in the positive, not the negative. Go ahead and do it. Time waits for nobody. I'm serious. Do not be handicapped by just placing limitations on yourself. Just go ahead, believe in yourself. As I posted on my Facebook page today, for greatness, you have to believe. You have to believe in order to receive. And be careful, because negativity is like the destroyer of advancement in a person's life. It really is. So surround yourself with positive people, positive energy. Just don't fall into that handicap, because you have some people just brew negativity all the time. And I know it's like I'm digressing. I'm just sorry. I have to go here for a bit. But some people just brew negativity all the time. You know, hurt recognize hurt. Negative recognize negativity. And they want to bring you down in your desire to not only fly but to soar. When you fly, it takes effort. But when you soar, you know, did what you're supposed to do to get to that place of soaring. So now you're relaxing. And some people are in this soaring moment, and a lot of people don't like that. You understand what I'm saying? But you have done the required work, and you've done the sacrifice. Don't be afraid to enjoy the benefits of your labor, your sacrifice, okay? There's a thing of survival guilt. You survived the test where others had the same test you did but didn't survive. Sometimes you feel very guilty by that. But if you've done the work and you paid the price, enjoy the fruits of your labor. You understand what I'm saying? That's all I am saying. Life is so short. Just enjoy it. I know for a fact that I placed so many limitations on my life, and it took me a while to get here, to find my muse, to find it. And there's a time and season, absolutely, that you share your joy, because not everybody's going to be happy for you. And there's time that you don't want to share, because it's not the right time. Example, Joseph in the Bible just kept sharing his vision and dreams, and even family was not ready or prepared, did not want to hear it. So be very cautious and careful of where you display your blessings or how you say your blessings. Just be mindful of the time and season. I know it's crazy to even think like that, if you know your P's and Q's, but such is the way of life. Understand this reality. The world has gotten cold, and it's going to get colder because the hearts of man is not the same as it was in 1960s, 40s, and 30s and all that good stuff. Times have changed, especially with these social media things. People think you can say, because you put things out there that think you can say such negative and positive, just ill manner, crazy things. But don't dwell in that place of negativity, okay, you guys? So I just want to say that. That's my little spiel to those who are listening. So let's go ahead and bring author Marlene Banks on. I love her. Welcome to the show, Marlene.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you, as always. It's just you and I. I just want to very briefly tell everybody that you are one of my favorite historical romance authors. She's been on the show several times, and she's a wealth of information as far as historical goes. So welcome back to the show, Marlene.
It's always a pleasure to be back and have a conversation with you. I'm always flattered and happy when I leave. It's
me
always
too.
A good,
always,
good experience for me.
It is. Great conversation. So I'm just going to pour us a cup of tea and get right into it.
Okay.
Nice.
I hope that's Earl Grey. I hope that's Earl Grey.
How did you know?
Because that's my favorite. That's my favorite.
Just for you. Okay, let's go ahead and jump right into it. Who are we going to talk about tonight?
Okay, tonight we'll start off with someone that I didn't hear about until, a few years ago, and I didn't investigate him until recently. And his name is Octavius Cato, and I hope I'm saying it right, because it's spelled C-A-T-T-O, and I'm not sure if it was pronounced Cato or Cato, but I'm going with the Cato.
Sounds good.
And he was a black rights activist back in the 1800s.
Hmm.
And this man was phenomenal. He did so much. And I like to say 100 years or more before the civil rights movement that we're so familiar with in the 60s, before Martin Luther King and Medgar Evers, and before Rosa Parks didn't want to get up off the bus, you had a man named Octavius Valentine Cato, and he was born in 1839 in Charleston, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. His family moved north, first to Baltimore, and finally settled in Philadelphia. where he was educated, very well educated. And he went to a school which at that time was founded by the Quakers, and it was called the Institute for Colored Youth. It is now what we call Cheney University. But that's how Cheney started. So that's a whole nother history lesson right there. He graduated from that school, went to D.C. to further his education, and he came back teaching there. This man had a passion for black activism in a time when it was really dangerous, much more dangerous than it was in the 60s. And if we all have flashbacks of the horrors that we saw happen in the 60s, you can imagine in the 1800s the dangers that beset anyone who was speaking about equal rights for black people. But in the midst of all of this, and he was a serious Renaissance man, he was proficient in many areas, skilled, he was an intellectual as well as physically adept. The man started a baseball team called the Pythian Baseball Club for blacks. I had never heard of the Pythian Baseball Club until I researched him. He tried to break the barriers of the sport of baseball. He was allowed into the Franklin Institute, which is a Philadelphia science institute, very elite. And for this man to have gotten in there, of course it wasn't without its problems, but to have gotten in there at that time was amazing. He did several things, and he was always in the midst of any movement to benefit black people. He was always in the midst of it. He was with Frederick Douglass and some other notables who were always fight. Any fight come about for black people, he was in the midst of it. During the Civil War, he raised one of the first groups of volunteer blacks to fight for their emancipation during the Civil War when the Confederates tried to take over Pennsylvania. And the sad part about his life is that he was murdered, shot dead not far from where he lived. And it's a sad story because Election Day, after the 15th Amendment, had so much violence going on. There were groups of white thugs moving around in the black neighborhoods, intimidating the blacks and physically harassing them and preventing them from voting. Now, we have to remember that in that day, blacks were primarily Republicans. And it was the Democrats who were the racist anti-blacks. So they knew when the 15th Amendment came about that the Democrats knew that all these blacks were going to come in as Republicans and knock them off their position and their power. So they wanted to stop them from voting.
Right.
It was on Election Day. He was on his way home, October the 10th, 1871. And this crazed Democrat, Frank Kelly, confronted him and shot at him three times, hit him once in the heart. And he died at the age of 32.
Oh, my goodness.
Outside of Philadelphia, there's a cemetery called the Eden Cemetery. And in his grave, there's a headstone that says the forgotten hero. And that's exactly what he is, because I had never heard of him. So he has been sorely forgotten. But I want to be one of the ones who bring his legacy back to memory.
Absolutely.
Because he had a fantastic life, and I just skimmed across a little bit of it. If you research, and I hope what we say tonight whets people's appetite to go and research more on their own. If you research him, you'll find out that this man was so accomplished.
Right.
And he did so much. And he founded the Banneker Literacy Institute. I mean, he was just doing things. And I said, he died so young. He did all of this before he was 32 when he died. And he's a forgotten hero. So I wanted to start off tonight talking about him. Octavius Valentine Cato.
Wow. You know, you certainly saturated my appetite to really delve into him more. Because, yes, he's absolutely forgotten.
And,
I'll say this
and make you laugh. And he wasn't bad to look at either. If you go check out his pictures, he was a good-looking brother.
God. Was he married? Any family?
You know, I've never heard that he was married, so I'm assuming that he wasn't. He came from Charleston, South Carolina, where he was born. His mother, Isabella, was from this highly distinguished mulatto family. And his mm-hmm. father, William T. Cato, had been a slave millwright who earned his freedom, and later he became a Presbyterian minister.
Mm.
So he came from good stock.
Well, Molly, let me ask you this. How is it possible for someone, all this rich history that you've given us, how is it we have not, how have we forgotten his legacy? Starting his own baseball team, things like that.
Well,
I
think with the generations, it's, the tombstone was put up much after he was dead. And that's why they put the forgotten hero.
Okay.
I guess because of it was in the 1800s, for one thing, mm-hmm. the communication and education wasn't as strong as it is now. And probably a lot of accomplished people that we'll never hear about.
Mm-hmm.
Because people just didn't talk about it. You know, they talked about the same old people that we've heard, George Washington Carver, Frederick Douglass, and I don't take anything away from those. But there were so mm-hmm. many more. And this mm-hmm. man fought for equality and citizenship. They called him a fanatic. That's why they killed him. They said he was a fanatic because every opportunity mm-hmm. he could to speak up for black equality, he took. He was fervent in his passion mm-hmm. to fight for equality. And he was just, I don't know, he just fell between the cracks. But he needs to be
right.
pulled out. He definitely
Absolutely.
Needs to be pulled out.
I agree. But you're right. There's so many unsung stories out there that have not been heard. The blood is crying from the ground. And you know
yes.
what, Marlene? In my, I studied African-American history, black history, too. And I was, it's ironic that we're talking this, about this. I was telling my mother this yesterday. We was riding in the car. How W.E.B. Du Bois talked about the soul of black people. Oh, my
mm-hmm.
God. It's something about the soul. And if you look at our writings is different from other races, of course, you know, but it's something about the soul that you can hit, the words, the literary. It's just, for me, it's Mecca. I just love reading those types of books. Toni Morrison is very complex sometimes. You got to understand where she's coming from. So a lot
yes.
of people deviate
good.
From those
she's
kind
good.
Of books. She is
but she's
excellent.
Good.
So you have
she's
to
one
say
of my favorites.
She's excellent. Mine, too. She challenges you to think and really... really just go there. She hits, you know. So and today, a lot of our young people don't want to hear about our history. Oh, it's depressing and sad and all that. But the truth of the matter is, it's truth. And these things happen. And you have to understand that it's trickled down today in our lives. And it's dividing us, some of these things, you know, the light skin, the dark skin, and that crab barrel mentality, all that, it
mm-hmm.
really... It really just dividing us, we as a people. And I just don't, it makes me sad. I pray for our people. When I say I pray for the African-American race, blacks, whatever you want to define it as. I just like, God, let the light come off in our heads that we support each other as a race. Because the Latinos, they come together, they support each other. Japanese, Asians, they support each other. You know, I'm not saying they're perfect in of itself, but you will find that they do support each other. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. We aren't as supportive of each other as I see other cultures, and
mm-hmm.
it's obvious. But I mm-hmm. also realize we have a very unique history, and a lot of the psychology that comes with our history is why we aren't. Our people were fragmented. We were fragmented by being pulled away from our homeland. A lot of cultures,
mm-hmm.
they came here voluntarily. They weren't snatched here. They weren't drug out into a foreign country where you couldn't speak the language. They chose to come here, even though they couldn't speak the language. It was their choice. Mm-hmm. Then we were fragmented because they were split up. You were split up from your tribe. If an African was from one tribe, and then he might have been arch enemies with another tribe, but they both ended up on that plantation together.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people who may not have really cared about each other or had mm-hmm. been arch enemies, and you flung them together. But there was always still going to be dissension because he knew that he came from this tribe and we came from that mm-hmm. tribe. Then you have the part about blending of the races. As the white man began to make illegitimate offspring with black women, and those kids came up light-skinned, looking different. And mm-hmm. then there became favoritism with the light-skinned. The light-skinned slaves were allowed to stay in the house and work in the kitchen, and the dark-skinned ones had to go out in the field and sweat it out all day. There became mm-hmm. resentment between the house niggers, as they called them, and mm-hmm. the field ones. There mm-hmm. was dissension. There was dissension if master liked you and was having an affair with you and was nice to you, he might give you his sister's hand-me-downs, as mm-hmm. opposed to he didn't do anything for me. I didn't get any favors. He let you stay in the house. He let you sit mm-hmm. in the kitchen. He let you eat what you wanted to eat. He might have mm-hmm. given you a few niceties, and you were treated well. I was treated just like a field hand,
mm-hmm.
so I resented you. There's a whole lot of psychology that goes behind enslavement of any mm-hmm. people. And our enslavement, we are still, I've heard many Caucasians say, why do y'all still talk about slavery? It's over. I had nothing to do with it. Yes, slavery is over and has been over. But the mm-hmm. effects of slavery is still here. It is not mm-hmm. over. Mm-hmm. And there has never been any type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Reparation. There has been no closure. It's always been an open-ended situation. The mm-hmm. psychology is still there in us, and it has passed from generations of people who were never slaves like us. But that mm-hmm. thing is still there, like you said. That thing about light skin, dark skin.
Mm-hmm.
And you have black people who hate the fact that they're black. They would rather mm-hmm. be anything other than black. They don't want mm-hmm. to connect with Africa. I'm not African. I don't know nothing mm-hmm. about Africa, never been over there. Well, you've never been to Sweden either, but you talk about your Swedish great-great-great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be. They want to be anything other than black, or connected right. with Africa.
Right.
I was raised to love myself, love my blackness, and be proud mm-hmm. of who I am. And I expect everybody else to be proud of who they are, whether they're white, black, or whatever, red, brown. Mm-hmm. Be proud of who you are.
Absolutely.
That is what everybody has the right to, because everybody has value.
Mm-hmm.
So be proud of what you are. And there are lots of black people who hate the fact that they are black.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when it was fighting words if you called a Negro black. And I'm old school, but that's the way it used to be. People did not want to hear that they were black. It was not popular. Mm-hmm. It was not trendy. That's not what you said. I'm colored or I'm a Negro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not black. Do I look black? I'm not black. They would get mad. And you didn't talk about Africa because they didn't know nothing about it. Until the 60s came and black pride started coming in,
mm-hmm.
that's when things changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay to call yourself black. As a matter of fact, you wanted to identify it. It was okay not to straighten your hair and wear a bush. It was okay to say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud.
Mm-hmm.
But it took that era before it was no longer a shame to be black. Before that,
mm-hmm.
it was nothing that people had pride in. You only had pride in if you accomplished something despite being black. So there's a lot of psychology that goes with our culture, and we have never sorted through it all. I doubt if we ever will. And that has a lot to do with why we don't help each other as much as other cultures.
Yes,
because we have been fragmented mentally, financially, and emotionally.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And, two, you have to educate yourself. Sometimes we willingly block out truth. We don't want to go there. We want to deny truth for what it is and don't want to accept responsibility. And we talked about that divide of the light skin and dark skin. I know a lot of people are familiar with the Willie Lynch letter. I want to read some of this to you, Marlene, and maybe you can comment on it. And I'm sure you're familiar with it. For those who aren't, just listen to this for a second, okay? It's Willie Lynch letter, The Making of a Slave. This speech was said to been delivered by Willie Lynch on the bank of the James River in the colony of Virginia, I think in 1712. Okay, now Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies, and he was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his method to slave owners. Listen to this. And he goes, "Greetings, gentlemen, I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problem with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have slaves. I experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program was implemented." Listen to this. "As our boat sailed south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highway in great number, you are using the trees and the ropes on the body on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. You're only losing valuable stocks by hanging. You have uprisings, slaves are running away. Your crops are sometimes left in the field too long for maximum profit. You are suffering occasional fire. Your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are? And I do not need to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to the method of solving them." Here it goes. "In my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that is, if you install correctly, it will control the slave for at least 300 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseers can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among the slaves, and I take these differences and make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes." Sounds like I know what he's saying. "These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and take them about. On top of my list is age, but it's bare only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex sizes, a plantation status on plantation, attitudes of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, south, or have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust, listen to this, Marlene, distrust is stronger than trust, and envy is stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrine, put them in their head, should carry on and become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget, you must pitch the old black male versus the young black male, the young black male versus the old black male. You must use a dark-skinned slave versus the light-skinned slave, the light-skinned slave versus the dark-skinned slave. You must use the female versus the male and the male versus the female. You must also have white servants and overseers who distrust all blacks. But it's necessary that your slave trust and depend on us. They must love, respect, and trust only us. Gentlemen, these kits are your keys to control. Use them. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensely for 1 year,
the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful. Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh.
Hmm.
Comment on that, Marlene.
What was he telling him? He was telling them mind control.
Yes.
That's all he was saying. Mind control. Pit them against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And make them dependent on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that can destroy. He said for 300 years, he better try for 3,000. Because that damage is irreparable.
Yes.
I mean, when you split up families like you did, like they did, you didn't know if your spouse was going to stay or be sold. So you lose the ability to have that familial love. Because you might have to watch your kids get taken from you, or your wife or your husband get taken from you. So you don't love that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't hurt that much if they are taken.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they are taken away, you still love them, but you never see them again. You may never see them again. So eventually that love wanes. And it has an effect because it puts a spirit on a bloodline and puts a spirit in a family. And it can put a spirit on a culture, a people, a race.
Mm-hmm.
Fragmented, psychologically jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the decades that have gone by, if you don't deal with each problem one by one and try to turn it around, it just keeps going. It just keeps going from generation to generation. It manifests itself in different ways according to the modern culture. It doesn't look like it did 80 years ago, but it's the same spirit. It just looks different.
Right.
And we aren't the only ones that are affected like that. The American Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And any race that has gone through traumatic things collectively, you will see problems that they had that have gone through generations. It's just the human nature. And we have gone through a lot. In our ancestors have gone, rather, through a lot. And the fact that we even survived says a lot. But how did you survive? You survived with a lot of psychological issues.
Wow. That's possible.
And the cultures who help each other a lot, they are cultures who, even though they might not have had it easy, they weren't torn apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw each other as a way to come out of it. We weren't shown that each other was a way. You were not shown that you could help each other out of it. You always had to get help from the white man.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to come up out of slavery or the conditions of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And so, even though there were black people who were abolitionists, and were the main, if the white man hadn't helped, abolition would have never taken off. So your help had to come from the same person that was enslaving you.
Mm-hmm.
So you never saw where you could pull your own self up. You never saw where your people could pull their own selves up without help from that other faction. That's all psychological.
Absolutely.
It all has a psychological effect.
Mhm. And you know, we were saying, we're getting there slowly. There's been some changes. For instance, Tyler Perry doing his own studio. We've been saying this for years. Why are we waiting? And let's go back to the Willie Lynch letter. Why are we waiting to be made? Why don't we create? And I said this too, when black people do businesses, it's almost that we don't trust each other's business. It's quite. And Al Sharpton said it's fanatic. And these are his words, I'm quoting, it's quite retarded for a race to depend on another race, make money off of you. And we have Asians, I just went to the store the other day, just capitalizing off an African-American product. in that store.
Yes.
And it's so amazing. That's amazing to me. And then you have African-Americans who do have their stores, and it shuts down, it closes, because we're not supporting each other. So African-Americans are almost scared to branch out there. But this is a new millennium. You can go online now on the Internet and work from home, become a millionaire. I've seen this, Marlene. So it's all about your mind, your mentality. And even me, I work from here, and I can speak from experience, too, that it's hard to garner support, be it online or personal. What I do as a playwright, author, it's very hard. I don't know, you got to have a name behind you and all that. It's quite funny to me that no one will support you in your climb. But once you reach a plateau, then they jump on the bandwagon. So be mindful of that. And that's not just a culture thing. That's a universal thing.
That's a human thing. That's right. That's
a human thing. But we're talking about African-American history here. So I just wanted to say this. Let's support each other, Black-owned businesses. Let's do that. Let's not only just celebrate, because we just got 3 minutes left, Marlene. Let's not just celebrate African-American history just in the month of February. If I could pose a question, do you even know how did Black history, not you, Marlene, just general, those who are listening, who is the founder of Black History Month? You know, it didn't even start out as a month. It started as a week. If you control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his action. If there's not a door or back door, he will make a back door. I quote that every year. And you know, Marlene, when I ask the question, sometimes they still don't know who's the founder, the father of Black History Month. So that's your homework for those who are listening. Bring it back to me. Hit me up on Facebook, Vanessa Richardson, or the certain one. Give me that answer, okay? But seriously, just got to know.
A lot of people are asking now, well, why do we need a Black History? Why do they need a Black History Month? Because they're putting in the school books now, they're teaching in the schools now a little more about Black history. So they feel we don't need a Black History Month anymore.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them
Mm-mm.
online
Mm-mm.
talk about that and complain about it. That we don't need a Black History Month. Because they feel it's incorporated into the American history now. It's incorporated nearly as much as it should be. And yes, we do need a Black History Month. Because as long as there are things that we don't know and we're still digging them up every year, then yes, we do need a Black History Month.
And
they said, well, why do you have to have a Black History Month? Because the Indians don't have a History Month. And the Mexicans don't have, well, guess what? They need one, too. Now, if they don't try to get it, that's on them. But, yeah, you do need a Native American History Month. And you could use a Mexican one, too. That's right. Every culture. I'm not just saying Asians can have one, too. Every culture needs to have a voice in American history, because this was a melting pot, and every culture that has contributed to American history needs to be respected and acknowledged for their contributions.
I agree.
Every culture. Now, if they don't want to fight for it, that's on them. But every culture deserves it.
Absolutely.
Because when I was coming up, I didn't think any other cultures did anything. Because we weren't taught that. So I believe every culture that contributed should be acknowledged. And if you want to have a month for every one of them, I'm okay with that.
I don't have a problem. I like reading and studying cultures also. So Marlene, the exodus of our conversation, we're out of time. Words of encouragement. I know you said a lot. Just give us words of encouragement. Who would you suggest as far as going? I know Octavius, I love him. Who else we should be made aware of? The unsung heroes.
Bath Reeves. In celebration of my book, Gunmen Have No Sabbath, I did a lot of research for Black men in the West. There was a man, his lifespan was from 1838 to 1910. He was the first African-American deputy marshal. And he was phenomenal. Absolutely. This man was dedicated. He didn't even start his marshal job until he was in his 50s. I think he was like 51.
Wow.
And he was illiterate, but it never stopped him. He had spent years with the Indians. He was born a slave, escaped slavery during the war, went to stay with the Indians until the Emancipation Proclamation. By that time, he had learned 5 Indian languages. That's why they made him Deputy Marshal. He could speak 5 Indian languages. And he was a crack shot. And he was a good tracker as well. And this man brought in more criminals and the criminals that the rest of them couldn't catch. Yeah. His name is Bass Reeves. And they say he was the real prototype for the Lone Ranger.
Wow, I won't be surprised. Wow.
And there are articles out there that make a blow-by-blow comparison of him and the Lone Ranger. They said he gave out pieces of silver, not silver bullets necessarily, but pieces of silver.
Right.
This man was shot at. He had never gotten shot. Criminals were shooting at him, trying to get him, and he was a man of God. He used to line the criminals up. He would capture a bunch of them, and before he'd take them in, he would line them up, sit them on a log, and preach the gospel to him, preach redemption and stuff before he took him in.
Wow. Ooh. What's his name again?
Bass, B-A-S-S, Reeves, R-E-E-V-E-S.
Ooh, I love it, you guys.
He was the first African-American U.S. Deputy Marshal west of the Mississippi. And he
was the most,
he had the most stellar career of all of them.
Right. I'm going to check him out.
His son killed his wife and ran off. He went and captured his son and turned him in. That's how dedicated he was.
Wow.
He was married.
Dedication.
He had a bunch of kids. I think it was like, was it 12 of them? 11, 12 of them? Had a bunch of them. And he went and got his own son and turned him in. He was totally dedicated to law and justice.
Wow. Yes, he was.
And he died in Oklahoma. He even was a sheriff for a little while, and he died in Oklahoma.
Intriguing. I'm going to have to look him up. 1910. I'm going to look him up. Marlene, time is going. But can you tell us where to get your books on your website? Where can we order?
You can check out my website, MarleneBanks.com. You can get my books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And any information you want about these men that I spoke about, I have things on my blog, on my website. You can read the biographies that I wrote, the brief biographies, and get more information. And I also have information about another black cowboy named Bill Pickett. He was a rodeo star. So,
ooh, I love it.
I have some new books out. My contemporary series, the Be Happy Romance series, is out. The first two are out, a happy anniversary and a happy Thanksgiving. And a happy New Year's is going to be out soon.
I got to have you back on. Look for my email. We're going to talk about those series.
Yes,
you guys,
this is a whole different thing from my historical romances, but it's a fun read and it's a series.
I love it. Marlene writes excellent books, you guys. She really does. So we're going to bring her back on for the month of March. I got your email. I'm going to connect with you and bring you back to talk about these series of yours. Okay?
Great. I'd love to come.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Marlene. As always, great conversation.
Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, there you go, guys. The hour has come and gone. Thank you, guys. Somebody said we extended with me the whole showcase. Thank you. Appreciate it. We did extend the show, you may have noticed, for an hour and a half, and you stuck with me, and I appreciate you. You guys just motivate me and encourage me so much. Thank you. So the hour is coming on. This segment will be available upon demand. We are on speaker.com/thecertainone, our YouTube channel, /thecertainone, our blog spot, /thecertainone. Just Google the certain ones or Vanessa Richardson, and you will find us. That's right. I want to thank you guys again for your support and your love and your consideration for joining us every Thursday, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. We do not take this lightly. We do not. Thank you so much. And you know how we do here on the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show. Listen, if no one told you that they love you yesterday, tomorrow, last year even, guess what? You are here on the Certain Ones Block Talk Radio Show. We love you with the love of the Father. Yes, we do. Until then, don't let anyone dissuade you or tell you cannot do it. And don't let you say that you can't do it. Have big faith and believe bigger. Until then, let's go get it.
The Certain One Talk Show, aspiring to inspire. To find out more about the talk show with your host, Vanessa Richardson, you may log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/thecertainones.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/thecertainones.com. Thank you for tuning in to this week's show with Vanessa Richardson, inspiring author and playwriter.